So I'm ready when you are.
Cool, all right. Would you be so kind as to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Sure. My name is James, and I play in a band called Make, Do, and Mend.
Excellent. All right, so since this is your first Warped Tour, how do you approach it compared to a traditional tour?
You know what? We came into it just sort of being open to whatever, not really expecting much, just trying to go with the flow and learn the ropes, as quickly as possible. It's definitely way different than any tour we've ever done. So it's, it's interesting, sort of learning how things go, what to do, what not to do, but it's been a really, really cool experience so far.
Any highlights in particular?
I mean, the shows have been really cool. I mean, getting to play in front of people, more people than I figured we would, to be perfectly honest. I was so blown away by, the amount of people that are watching the sets. I, sort of set my expectations at a certain level, and luckily they were exceeded. So that's really, really cool. That's a huge highlight.
Okay. So you guys started out in Hartford, Connecticut, from what I understand.
Yep.
And now you're kind of based in Boston now? Okay. What's the scene like in Hartford? Because we don't hear much about Connecticut, so what's going on?
Connecticut has an awesome, independent music scene. We grew up going to shows in a town called Wallingford, which, oddly enough, is very funny. The show, the Connecticut show, is actually in Wallingford, down the street from the Legion Hall that we used to play shows at, our entire coming up hood. So that'll be a really cool full circle moment, I feel. Just a lot of really cool young bands, just a really cool DIY scene, and that's what we grew up being a part of, which is really, we're really fortunate to have had that, that lineage.
Any bands we should look out for specifically?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Hostage Call from Connecticut. Just legitimately one of the greatest, one of my favorite bands, period. And yeah, they've been friends of mine for almost 10 years now, which is really kind of weird to think about. But they are just so incredible. They got a new record coming out pretty soon. They're just, a fantastic band.
All right. I have to give thumbs up to your new album, Everything You Ever Loved. Very good. I haven't heard the first one, though. So how would you say you've grown since then?
It's definitely a more mature sound. I guess that's kind of a cheesy thing to say. I guess everybody says that. But it's sort of the easiest way to describe a progression. We wanted to write a well-rounded record. We wanted to write a record that really sort of captured everything that we do well. The record that came before it was called That Measured Mile, and it was a very urgent record for us. It's a sort of a heavy rock and roll record. It just sort of comes right at you and doesn't really let up throughout the course of it. Whereas this one, I feel like, has a lot more peaks and valleys to it in terms of, in a songwriting sense. So that's what we were going for, and, hopefully we pulled it off.
For what it's worth, I feel like you did, so, yeah.
Awesome.
All right, so a little while ago, I saw that you did a podcast interview where you were wearing a Hot Water Music hooded sweatshirt.
Yep.
I think I know the answer to this, but how were they influential to your sound?
You know what? They were certainly very influential to our sound, as they're one of my favorite bands of all time. They are the quintessential melodic, emotional rock band, in my opinion. But more than influence our sound, I think the Hot Water really influenced the way we're a band, more than the way we sound. From a very young age, I looked at Hot Water Music sort of as the true north for what it means to be in a punk band. How they did things, was exactly how I wanted to do things. And so, certain things have come up in our, in our band's career, in our band's life, and I thought, what would Hot Water Music do? How would Hot Water Music handle this certain situation? It's worked out so far.
Now, I know Jason's on the tour with you now. Are you guys best friends? Jason Black,
Black is actually not on the tour. He's not playing with Senses. He's out doing some Hot Water stuff. They did a few European dates. They're going to do a few more headlining dates over the course of the summer. So he didn't come out with Senses. He's a good bud of mine. He's a fantastic human being. So yeah, he is a really close friend, but unfortunately he's not here. However, Chuck actually joins the tour tomorrow. He's going to be doing some acoustic shows, which should be really cool.
I totally mistimed it. I've been trying to get an interview with him for a long time, and I was like, all right, tomorrow's the day. I missed it by a day.
I think it's been 2 years we've been trying to get that interview.
Yeah.
We always miss him by one. Yeah. Something happens at the last minute.
You'll get him. You'll get him. He's a special guy. You know, once you, I think you'll really enjoy talking to him.
I got to, last year at Riot Fest in Philly, I got to shake his hand and Chris's hand after the set. And of course, this guy wasn't around with the camera, so I was like, no one's going to believe me. Oh. But it was still cool.
I believe it. They're great guys. I mean, they're just like, they're sort of like, I always think of them as like my punk rock uncles, you know what I'm saying? Like, every time we're together, they always have these like pearls of wisdom to share, and it's just like, it's so cool. Coolest thing.
You never hear anyone say a bad thing about him, and even if in their like oral history on alternative press, they didn't trash talk anyone, which is such a rarity, you know. All right, now Rise Records has been gobbling up a lot of talented bands lately, older, newer, whatever. What is it about them that lured you in?
Honesty, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, just, I never want to work with anyone in a business sense who's not trustworthy, honest, genuine, and that those three values completely sum up what Rise Records is. And I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely pretty, I suppose in a lot of ways it's hard to believe, especially given, you know, their back catalog. But I mean, it's really unbelievable how down to earth and sort of straight ahead the dudes that run that label are. I mean, the most just conscientious people we've ever dealt with. So.
I mean, they got the Bouncing Souls on it.
I think so, yeah.
Comet, yeah. So, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. Alright, so we were lucky enough to see you guys play in Philly toward the end of last year with Thursday and their final show.
Yeah.
We actually
photographed you guys too.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
And it was amazing.
Thanks. That's a great show.
Yeah. We interviewed the Screaming Females beforehand. Great band. And what was the vibe like though? Because it could be bittersweet with Thursday calling.
It was definitely bittersweet. It was definitely bittersweet. It was, I mean, it's a weird thing. I mean, Thursday and Me Without You, who are on that tour, are two huge bands for us. I mean, Me Without You, to me, it's just like, I love all their records so much. And so being able to tour with these bands who have shaped so much of, like, the musical world that we live in, especially Thursday, was just really surreal. We've had a few moments like that where we've gotten the opportunity to do things, whether it's touring with Hot Water Music, whether it's playing with Thursday, whether it's playing Warped Tour, to be perfectly honest, where it's sort of like, it's just a weird, like, full circle kind of thing. Like, you know, this is where we started, and this is where we're at, you know? Like, we started as fans of these things, and now we sort of exist with these things on the same plane to a certain degree. So it's kind of odd, but it's very cool.
And of course, Jeff's on the tour now, so you can hang out with him whenever you want.
Totally.
All right. So you guys contributed the Ronald Miller story to Carry the Torch, a tribute to Kid Dynamite.
Yeah.
Is that a favorite of yours in the band?
We actually wanted to do another song, but it was taken.
Gotcha.
I Am the Avalanche was supposed to do Ronald Miller's story, and then they couldn't do it. So we sort of snuck in there. And I mean, it's definitely one of my favorite Kid D songs, I'm really happy with how it came out. I actually love doing it.
Now, which version did you prefer, though? The one on Cheap Shots, Youth Anthems, the really raw early one, or the self-titled one?
I like the one on Cheap Shots, to be perfectly honest, yeah.
I feel good about picking that album up, then, because it's good. All right, my personal favorite, Shiner.
Yeah.
I loved all their songs.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
So what else is in store for the rest of the year for you guys?
We get done with this, and then we go to Europe for a couple weeks. It's us, La Dispute, Title Fight, and Into It Over It. Then we do a tour of the East Coast and Midwest, to and from Fest. I think that we might be headed to Australia a little bit later on in the year, and then hopefully we'll cap off the year with something cool, but, you know, that's all we really got.
That's great.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really good lineup.
Yeah, definitely.
Too bad we're not in Europe.
Yeah.
Well. So last question. Yep. You're stuck in a desert island, one album the rest of your life. What is it?
Oh, God. Tough call. It's an EP, which sucks for me, but it's an EP called Last Pale Light in the West by Ben Nichols.
So. That's awesome. Well, thank you very much, and we'll see you in the night, man.